B-Pod Studios.
Brady Field, waist high, stands in the box. Brady up under center with a play fake. Brady stands in, lobs the throw to Kowski. Brady throwing down the middle. Gronk makes the catch.
Brady takes the snap.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Fires down the middle. Throw to Gronkowski. Gives to Michelle. Runs it left. A dog to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
This is the home of the winningest quarterback in Super Bowl history.
Tom Brady, six-time champion.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
For me, it's not really about the loss, it's about the attitudes that we're playing with. You know, guys are, you know, hanging their heads. It just doesn't, it's not fun, man. Like, it's not fun. We're not competing at a high level. You know, even though we're winning, it's still not, it's just not fun. You know, I don't see the joy in the game. I watch all these other teams on the league and guys up on the bench, they're jumping on the court, they're doing all, you know, other stuff that this look like is they enjoying, you know, their teammates' success, they're enjoying everything and they're playing together and they're playing to win. And when I look at us, I just see a bunch of individuals.
Everything is awesome.
Must be great being a fan like that. I would love to be able to do that. Just ignore it all. Everything's awesome. That comment.
I don't understand.
Over the line.
I don't understand how we could get a call after the way this whole team has been formed over the last 3 years and how it's trending to press the reset button and continue to build around Jaylen Brown.
I mean, something is.
How do you even fill the call?
Something
like
has
that?
Looked off with this team since day one.
Can't refute that.
That is established. Jaylen Brown and Marcus Morris got into a shoving match on the bench at one point, going back some time.
You think Marcus Morris is the problem? Or you think Jaylen Brown's the problem? There,
I don't know, but if I had to guess, I'd guess one of the young kids. I mean, I just always sort of defer to the older veterans.
Yeah, in that sport, I think that's what you do.
I think in any sport. I don't think it's sports specific.
I mean, sometimes you get a marquee guy that you just know is the real deal. You know, like, you know, Jason Tatum's a real deal. You sit down and you look at Jaylen Brown, and we like him, but I don't look at Tatum and Brown as the same level type guy. I'd rather keep a guy like Jason Tatum. He's a better player. Like, when the hell did Jaylen Brown get the nerve to talk in the offseason the way he talked and the way he spoke? Like, even Cleveland at the end, when things came unraveled for them, when Kyrie was still there and that, they figured a way to get it going. Remember LeBron leaving the arena with his arm around him, his head down, don't keep your head up, we're going to be all right. And they were sputtering at the end, but yet they figured it out, and they get hot, but you got the greatest player in the world on your team.
I mean, I also know that Jaylen Brown has had his fair share of issues with Marcus Smart, right? Like, those two had an issue last year. So he's had issues with other guys on the team, right?
I think that's an indicator.
Sort of well established.
Yeah.
Sort of established at this point. But the comments from him on Saturday, at least someone's saying it. At least someone's admitting that there's something wrong with the group.
And Morris even kind of couched it with, yeah, we're winning. We're winning games, but tell you what, it ain't fun. We got a problem. Like, he's flat out telling you what the problem is. We have a problem.
They've got enough talent on the roster that they can go out and play as individuals and still win games.
Yeah.
That's because, I mean, you could beat up on bad teams all day long like that.
Sure you could.
Can't you? Win just on the talent on your roster alone?
You win us 10 games, but you ain't going to beat Golden State.
Right. Like, you're not going to go deep into the playoffs with that sort of attitude. Like, that's not going to happen. You could still be a decent team. You can still finish with a halfway decent record. You're not going to meet the expectations. This team will not meet the expectations that it had, both from the internally, externally, whatever those expectations were. This team's coming up short this year in the regular season. I guess the question now is, do they have a shot at redeeming themselves in the playoffs? They might. They got enough talent, they could figure it out. They're all of a sudden going to start caring, which is not an easy thing to do. Cam is in Taunton today on the Celtics. Hi, Cam.
How's it going today, guys? I mean, this might sound dramatic, but I think those two losses might have been the season, because everyone around you is winning. Indiana lost Oladipo, but they've won four in a row. Toronto's won four in a row. Philadelphia looks like an absolute machine now with Harris. Meanwhile, you did nothing, and you go out and blow a 17-point lead to a team that they all hate each other because LeBron was just trying to trade half of them, and a Clippers team that had one practice together, you blow a 28-point lead to. That might have been the season these last two games. You're now five games behind Toronto, and if you don't get to the two seed, you're not reaching the conference final. If you don't reach the conference final, Kyrie is gone.
Yeah, I didn't really consider that aspect of it, though. The Lakers, as bad as you think the feelings might be among Celtics players right now, how bad was that Lakers locker room feeling? Five different deals reportedly put together to try and get Anthony Davis. So virtually everybody was involved in one of them. And you know who's at the who's spearheading that whole effort is LeBron James. So here's the guy who's out there leading your team on the court, and everybody in that locker room is looking around, is like, this guy's trying to trade me. This guy didn't want to play with me. But they managed to get it together and get a win on as the visitors against the Celtics, a team that is on paper a lot better than you. If you don't want to believe that there's anything wrong with the Celtics right now, that's okay. I understand. It's just a couple of games. But after a while, the stuff starts to add up. You have to at least consider that, this locker room might be a little sick right now. And I still think that winning would solve a lot of it, Beetle. I don't think any of it is unsolvable. But this stuff always comes up after a loss. Well, it's never after a win.
And no, of course, right? Because, you know, winning usually cures these problems.
Exactly.
But I think at some point you say, well, you can win games with this group. They're a super talented group. We were talking about this on Friday before we even knew what he was about to say, what Marcus Morris Sr. was going to say. And someone called and said, it was Scott in Weymouth, who said he thinks all four teams can win this year. And I said, I don't think the Celtics will, and I don't think it's because of talent. They've got talent. A lot of it's underperforming. Gordon Hayward, chief among the list, top of the list of the guys that have talent and are not matching what you've known them to be. That's due to an injury. That doesn't look like it's changing, does it?
No. But you got to remember, that dude's foot was pointing a different way.
But it's not because they didn't put together a good roster. Right. They put together a really good roster. That's not the issue. The issue is not a lack of talent here. That is not their problem. James is in Attleboro today with a football thought. What's up, James?
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, James.
Good. What do you think of if the Patriots get rid of, Gronk retires, bringing in either Tyler Eifert or maybe even Jared Cook for his replacement?
You need to bring in some sort of a veteran. But
Eifert, free agent? Is he going into free agency? He is, right?
Eifert is, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, James.
I mean, there are a bunch of tight ends that are going to be there, but I mean, it's a pretty decent group of tight ends in the draft. The big kid from Iowa again, they got another one that looks like mini Gronk. I mean, but do you want a more athletic guy or do you want the big guy off the edge like sort of Gronk has been with the blocking this year? I mean, you're going to be able to get rid of both tight ends.
Both of these guys have injury history, don't they?
Yeah, Tyler Eifert's always banged up.
Jared Cook's about to turn 32 and he's always got injuries too.
Yeah,
I don't love either of those options.
Nope. I'd rather build through the draft.
I'd rather draft a guy.
Yep.
There are good ones coming out, you said?
There's a stud from Iowa, yeah.
Is it going to go early?
I don't know.
Could be a problem.
Yeah.
You know what makes it easier? Gronk comes back.
Exactly. I think Gronk, I do. Do you think he's, do you start to think he comes back?
I mean,
listening on that one?
I still think he's more no than yes.
Okay.
Not there yet. I think the chances of him coming back have grown quite a bit in the last 2 weeks, but I still think he's on the side of not coming back. I hope I'm wrong. It would make the offseason puzzle a lot easier for the Patriots. But he's coming back agreeing to a pay cut, too.
Yes,
they're
absolutely.
Paying him his $12 million.
No.
Bob's in the car, also with a football thought today.
What do you got, Bob?
Hey, how's it going? I got a quick question. It's interesting if you look at this season and actually even dial it back a few years. Remember Belichick had used Chip Kelly as a consultant?
Yep.
What he was trying to do was increase their play count. Everything was all talking about play count and getting as many plays as possible. Now, then you fast forward to the beginning of the season, you look at kind of what happened with quarterbacks, unbelievable explosion of statistics, just at the beginning of the season. And then fast forward to the end of the year, and the team that takes it is utilizing a two-back system, you know, running kind of an old school style of football where they're balanced, you know, really kind of keeping the other team's offense on the bench. I found that fascinating, and I just wanted to see if you guys think that'll be kind of a trend continuing forward.
I don't think it'll be a trend for this team, Bob. I don't think it's innovative. I think they did it out of necessity. It was smart. It was really smart on their part. They're not doing that by choice, though.
No.
They did it to what would make their team successful. It's smart that they did it. They used their roster brilliantly, obviously, yep, winning the Super Bowl,
sure,
with it. But that's not how they want to build their team, is it?
No, and it's just it's just tidbits of everything, too. And I thought Bird had a pretty neat piece in his MMQB on McCourty and the breakdown of how they, you know, studied the Rams going into it and the role Brian Hoyer played, mm-hmm, you know, and talking to him in his headset, the way Shanahan did it with him. And, oh, my God, well, there's that Hard Knocks episode. That's right. The Rams were on. Let's go back and look at some of the stuff in there. And it's just like, wow, they picked up little things from here and there, you know, filming the OTAs and how they couldn't handle blitz. Like, Patriots just study everything. That's how they get advantage. That's why you bring a guy like Chip Kelly in. Okay, so if all these teams are going to the RPO and this, and it's going to be fast-paced stuff, let's get Chip in here. Let's talk to him. Let's pick his brain. You know, they would get Shanahan in to visit. They had Greg Schiano in to visit a lot, you know, during camps and stuff. That's why he's your new DC now. It's amazing the amount of coaches they've lost, though. You shocked Brandon Daly left? Brendan Daly?
No. In fact, why don't we get to that? Brendan Daly left the Patriots over the weekend. We'll tell you which team he's going to work for and whether or not he got a promotion.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand. Wow, we got more more ska in the mix.
Uh-huh.
Had one on Friday, which we made a
more
comment
ska
or two about. Artie, this one, new one in the system.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Sometimes I just do what I'm told.
What's the funky one?
This has Fred. This has Fred Toucher written all over it.
Makes me want to have a brat
guy. I think he had a ska band play at his wedding.
What's a ska band?
Ska? What S-K-A, we just listened to. That's ska.
Ska. Ska. Huh.
That's it.
Yeah. So just assumed it was Mighty Mighty Bosstones, the song that played on Friday. And
it's not a bad guess. I like Bosstones better, but that's not a terrible guess.
617-779-0985. You asked me about Brendan Daly before we went to the break. Am I surprised that he left? No. I'm surprised he didn't get a promotion, though, to leave. He's making a lateral move to the Kansas City Chiefs from what I read over the weekend, unless those reports are incorrect. So, lateral move.
What's the money on the lateral move?
I don't know.
Must be a lot more than what the pay is here.
He is leaving the Patriots, and again, this is someone who's been with the team since 2014, been the D-line coach since 2015, according to reports, including one from Jim McBride, who's been on top of all this movement with the coaching staff.
Sort of been Belichick's right-hand man at all these workouts, combine stuff, visiting schools, putting kids through workouts.
He will assume a similar position with the Chiefs.
Hmm. Now, Chiefs fired
Bob
Sutton.
Lateral move from the Patriots coaching staff to the Chiefs coaching staff. Is that because he was a little upset about not getting the defensive coordinator job?
Okay. So
hold on.
And I don't know what the setup is like with the new team, but is there a clearer path to get the DC job like in another year there?
There might be. Bob Sutton got fired. So he got hired by, I think, Atlanta. Atlanta hired him to be their new defensive coordinator, where Quinn's going to call it, but he's going to be the de facto DC. I know that Flores, Daly, and Chad O'Shea are tight. So they work out together. I see them always running the stadium. Maybe if you're in an away game, you'll see them out together. It's interesting that Chad O'Shea is going to Miami with Flores. So there was no opportunity in Miami under Brian Flores' defensive staff to bring Brandon Daly along, too. He's taking Shaplinsky along, too, to be a quarterback coach. Why would you want to go to Kansas City? Yeah.
You tell me.
I mean, well,
I have no idea.
Think about it. You got Justin Houston. You've got Jones.
Who is their defensive coordinator? They haven't named one since they fired Sutton, right?
Right. Maybe it's a year away. Maybe that's part of the promise. You come here, we make a lateral move, we'll give you $50,000 more than what you're making now.
Yeah, something tells me he's probably not thrilled to have not been really
anointed,
considered for that job of defensive coordinator. Or maybe considered and then didn't get it. Right?
Yeah.
To sort of have been here for years.
Didn't tell you.
Been a part of a staff that had won 3 Super Bowls, right? Been on the defensive staff that won 3 Super Bowls and then watched Greg Schiano, who's been an epic failure at the NFL level, come in and get the gig and the title right away.
Gig and title.
Unlike his...
Title's big.
Unlike the predecessor who was also there for years and didn't get the title.
Who's now going on to be an NFL head coach, who's assembling his own staff and never got the title.
$5 million a year.
To watch Schiano come in, and we know Schiano's personality. And you think Brendan Daly sat there and said, oh yeah, can't wait to work for this guy. He probably said, F this. I'm going out. I'm getting out of here.
Is it a lateral move?
I ain't putting up with this crap.
Are you making more money? Nope. Are you going to get a inside track to a coordinator or a head coaching job? Nope. I just want the hell out of here.
Spagnuolo is official in Kansas City? Is that they've named him? So Steve Spagnuolo, former Giants coach, former Rams defensive coordinator. Was he the Rams head coach for a time?
I think he may have been when Josh was there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
I think so.
Steve Spagnuolo was just a Springfield guy, by the way.
We had him on Super Bowl last year in Minnesota.
He did. He wanted to backtrack on his comments. He was the head coach for 3 years in St. Louis. Yeah, that's what he was there. Before that, he was the Giants defensive coordinator, including in that Super Bowl the Patriots lost when they went 18. I hate to think about that. But anyway, yeah, all right. Mm. So that doesn't provide a clear path to being the DC. So I don't know. There you go. Lateral move for Brendan Daly. Lateral move.
His wife's also from Kansas City.
Okay.
According to the Globe.
That's nice out there. Really flat.
His wife is from Kansas City? Honey,
go home.
I don't feel like working for Greg Schiano.
Well, how about this, too?
Let's at least do something for us.
Who also appears to be a yeller, bit of a hardo.
Right. Who?
Greg Schiano.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to deal with that guy every day?
Don't want any part of that.
So, I mean, when you're married to a football coach.
Not only that, when you sit there and say, Greg, I've been on a staff where we win, so I actually know something about winning Super Bowls and winning at this level, when your disaster you had down in Tampa Bay.
Well, that was...
I actually know something about connecting with NFL players. Maybe you should listen to me for 5 minutes.
And that's just it.
Think he wants to run into that situation?
You know, they talk about, what kind of transition will the defense go through? And I've heard this talked about ever since... it was official that Flores was leaving. It's like, well, it'll be fine because the system is in place. And Belichick is, has kind of reasserted himself as a defensively minded head coach. And he's, the architect, and the DC just has to implement it. So why not somebody else? Why not somebody else who was on the staff like Flores was? Why not elevate somebody? Why do you need, a real defensive coordinator if it's the system's already in place and Belichick is going to be working with you very closely on it? It would make sense to bring up somebody from the staff. That's not what they're doing. People are upset. Apparently,
there just seems
wife's from KC, and he worked under Spagnuolo when he was with the Rams.
So what? He's been in the Patriots for 4 years.
Yeah,
you don't leave that unless you have a reason to leave that. The lateral move. If he was getting a promotion, it would be easy to understand. It's less clear when you make a lateral move.
And when you're married to football.
When you make a lateral move off the coaching staff of the best head coach, maybe in the history of football, most certainly the current best head coach in all of football right now, and in this era, he is the best football coach, off a staff that just won a Super Bowl, it's 3rd in 5 years, to go to the Chiefs? Lateral move? With no clear path to a promotion. You can spin that any way you want about his wife being from Kansas City, but I'm not buying it. Probably not happy about not getting the gig, if not the title. Instead, he watched Schiano walk in and get gig and title. That can't go over too well.
Didn't Tangway call it a year ago that Steve Belichick's going to end up being a defense coordinator?
Maybe at some point.
I think he did.
No, but how about this team, though? I mean, they've lost a lot of coaches now. That has to be concerned. I know that five. Listen, everything goes through Bill anyway.
Dude, five, though.
But still, that's a lot of guys, you know, in terms of just having everything smooth-running machine that they had. That's disruptive. I know they've lost coaches before.
Yeah.
But it feels like they're getting hit pretty hard right now.
Getting hit pretty hard, and it's more of like, okay, now it's even more on Bill to really get him up and going as a staff to where you got to put a ton of time in just to figure out what you're going to do with your roster. There's going to be a turnover with this roster, too, but also turnover with your staff. And to get them humming on the right page. You're getting ready to go to the combine. You're already 4 weeks behind everybody. They got eliminated. So put that into effect, too. You know, as is Miami. You know, you got to get your thing up and running down there. So it's going to be fun for Chad O'Shea and Shaplinski to walk in to a quarterback and offensive meeting with Ryan freaking Tannehill.
He's not going to be there.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to have somebody new.
They're going to get a new guy.
All right, we'll get to headlines with Hardy, get you caught up, and we're back. We'll get to your calls on both Celtics, Patriots stuff, Bob Costas crying about the NFL, all that stuff, all in the mix here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good job, Hardy. Real rejoin.
617-779-0985. Let's get back to your calls. Victor's in the car. Victor!
Hey, what's up? I'm out of the car by now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
First time, long time. Excellent show. I wanted to comment about the Celtics, man. Our Celtics are a little bit... they're coming up for a really hard run in a few days, too. And I'm thinking about what Marquise Morris said. You know, he nailed it. He nailed it. They're not having fun. You know, they're not cohesive. They're all individuals. And you watch how the Patriots play and Tom Brady's practices, and they're all calling each other brothers and stuff. But, you know, the Celtics aren't doing that now.
Yeah, I also wouldn't get caught up just on the word fun. Here's how I would rephrase it, and this is what I think he meant, and I could be totally wrong. They're not enjoying the success that they do have.
Yeah. Enjoying work you put into it. Right. That's what he's talking about.
They're not enjoying when they win. There's just no joy in it. Like, even when they do win, and they won 10 out of 11, they're not taking a lot of joy in that because they're just not invested.
Over the line!
They're not invested in each other. They don't care. They don't play for each other. They don't fight for each other. They're not, in the simplest of terms, they're not a team.
And that's the worst thing. That's worse than anything else because you could have mistakes. You could have a guy that maybe goes cold for a stretch, you know, and then all of a sudden this guy gets hotter. You fix a coaching little strategy here or there. Like the Patriots point.
Yeah.
They cleaned up their crap. Effort was never an issue with them. Never. They kept getting compared to that 09 team. And people that covered both teams said, no way. That team didn't like each other. That team had issues. That team had individuals. They didn't play as a team. And that's what's scary because if it goes down that road, you're never going to win. You're never going to win unless you play together. So then it's like, whose job is it to get them to play together?
Again, tweet from Gary Washburn, who is an impeccable source when it comes to Celtics coverage. The Celtics locker room issues aren't that big of a surprise to some NBA folks I talked to today. The consensus is the players aren't necessarily beefing, but they aren't that close. It's like they're trying to coexist politely and it's not working. So it's not even that they've all got issues with each other. They just maybe don't see each other eye to eye.
Oh, it's even worse when you're shutting down. When you're shutting down and you're not communicating. It's almost better to communicate and argue and fight about it, Beetle.
Because this sort of describes it as indifferent. Like, yeah, we show up, we play. We're not the best of friends.
Yeah, we win in spite of each other.
Yeah, we just show up and do our thing, and we try and win games. And when we do, no one really takes any joy in it, but we show up and we keep trying to do it.
You know what you do then? You become an unlikable team.
They're not passionate about anything. Right? It's like they're lacking that. Here's the thing, though. I don't think that they're unlikable. Now, you get pissed at them when they have bad losses and they give up big leads, like 18 to the Lakers or, you know, 20 against the Clippers. Right? 20 plus.
Yeah.
You watch it and you get very discouraged by it.
No, but
you can't stand it and you hate to see it. But I don't look at the group and say, oh, I can't stand this group of guys. I don't have that feeling about this team.
You love superstars here in the city. We love them. We love the fact that Kyrie's here. You wanted Gordon Hayward to come here. You chanted that guy's name. You cheered him when he was on another team. That a player on your own team got offended by that. You're cheering for him. He eventually came here, committed to come here. Yeah, he's getting paid nicely. But the problem, I think, becomes when you have veterans, they're going to speak out against younger players. And if that's the case, and that's where this is trending, how do you look at a guy like Jaylen Brown and say, that guy's likable? And how do you have a call today that says, get rid of Kyrie Irving and build around Jaylen Brown? It's one way or the other. You're building this damn thing around Kyrie Irving. It's not around Jaylen Brown. You finally got that guy. You finally got Kyrie Irving. You can't let him walk. You can't. Or you're going to press that reset thing, and then you're going to be doing this in a three-year spin again and again and again. That's not fireworks. You've already hit some fireworks. You need one more guy, man. One more guy.
Tariq is in the car today. Hi, Tariq.
You know, I've struggled with this for the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I'm at the point where this is a referendum on Brad. As much as I think he is an awesome coach, this is, and it's funny, we've seen glimpses of this over the 5 or so years where guys start calling the radio station complaining that he needs to shorten rotation, choose the guys he wants to play. Well, this is now that time more than ever. And he's not doing it yet because there are a lot of hard decisions. I think he's looking at it going, it's either Morris or Hayward as part of the stretch, the wing rotation. And then at this point, it looks like you're going to need all four of your bigs in the playoffs because you're matching up against teams that are just huge. So Brad so this is where I'm at with Brad. He is either going to be a very good coach, Doug Collins, Mark Jackson, can build a team, but they always end up handing that team off to a Doc Rivers type, a Phil Jackson type that actually brings them over the top. And if that's what Brad is, then we need to hope he becomes Pop and then build with the young guys over the long term and be patient. If we think he is a personality guy that can get superstars to work together, then we need to make these moves to try to bring in as much superstar talent as possible. But if he is not that, we need to be realistic about our expectations and know that we have to go a different route.
That's a lot there. That's a lot there to process. Yeah. But it all comes down to the roster. Changing the roster is what Tariq says needs to happen. That it's somehow a talent issue and they've got to put more bigs on the roster.
So what he's saying
isn't
is too
a talent issue.
What he's saying is too
right
much
now,
talent
these
is bad for the coach.
Right now, these problems are not a talent issue, though.
Yeah, he's saying too much talent is bad for the coach. The coach responds better with less talent.
If you're talking about the offseason, yeah, of course you could remake the roster. You could make it better for next year. But don't tell me that what's happening right now is both talent and the coach. The coach you could put blame on. The talent level of the roster? I don't know about that. I don't know if that's acceptable right now. Well, they don't have enough talent. They have enough talent to beat the Lakers the other night. They have enough talent to beat the Clippers the other night. They have enough talent for that. That's not a talent problem. At least I don't think so. Tim and Quincy wants to defend the Celtics. Defend them. Defend their honor, Tim.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hey. I can't believe the amount of people doubting the Celtics at this point. I don't understand why. I mean, if they've won 10 of 11, they lose two close games. One of the games, Kyrie got hurt. Aaron Baines is out. And why is everyone acting like the sky's falling down? Why are we psychoanalyzing every single move? I mean, I thought it's the playoffs.
Had a veteran player come out and say we got issues.
Because of what Marcus Morris said.
We wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't.
We've proven that we can beat Milwaukee. We've proven that we can beat Toronto. Those teams do not scare me at all. What's it called? Philly is going to be a tough team to beat, I admit. But I don't think we'll play Philly until the Eastern Conference Finals if it all goes out right. So what I'm saying is this team's going to have its issues. They're going to have problems. But I think they are a good team. I think they can make the finals. I think they will make the Eastern Conference Finals without a doubt. And my main issue is with basketball things. They're missing. They're on their fast break. They aren't trying to get layups. They're trying to get threes, and this is leading to bad shots. They're not hitting guys on cutters. They're making lazy passes with one hand, and it's just like if they just cleaned up their basketball issues, they would be a much better team.
And why do you think they're not cleaning up those issues? Why do you think those things are happening?
So I think it's a matter of Brad Stevens allowing it, and I think it's a matter of veteran guys just not like. The way Brad Stevens describes it is every possession matters. But what he needs to realize is that every pass matters, every rebound matters. So you need to box out. You need to, like, pass with two
hands.
Right,
again, but you're not hitting at the heart of it. If guys don't care, if you can't make someone care who doesn't care. You can't do it.
But what he can change is say, don't shoot the three. Let's go to the hole.
To certain guys.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what magic elixir that this coach should have that's going to cure what issue they have that's the way they play. Like you said, they won 10 out of 11 with this sort of strife that they have. We wouldn't be talking about it if Marcus Morris didn't say that we got an issue. Veteran player is coming out, speaking against a team that something ain't right. We're not having fun. But fun isn't about fun. I'm with you on that. Meaning, they're not enjoying their success. Like, when they win, we're still disgruntled. Like, something's not right. When you usually put all the work into whatever craft you do and you get good results,
right,
you should enjoy that. They're not. It's not fun, like, woo, we're not, you know, high-fiving and all that. Not that type of fun. Like, you know, fun can be taken a different way. I'm with you on that.
617-779-0985. Hardy, you wanted to push back against some praise of the Grammys last night?
Who was praising the Grammys?
Some people praising the Grammys and praising a particular performance by the host.
Oh, yeah.
Alicia Keys.
Oh, yeah.
You're upset about it today.
I'm not
upset.
Look.
You're upset about
every
it.
Every year, I'm like, I'm not watching the Grammys. Then I end up watching the Grammys, and it makes me upset.
All right. Hardy's upset about the Grammys. He'll tell you why. And we'll continue with your calls, both Celtic stuff and some of the football items we hit on today right after this. This sounds a lot better than that. Foxwoods wants to send you on a cruise to paradise
cruising
with Norwegian Cruise Line in honor of Foxwoods' 27th anniversary. They're celebrating a big anniversary. Foxwoods Resort Casino, where you could play for your chance to win one of 27 Norwegian cruises and set sail on the seas of luxury.
You ever see those boats? You see how nice those boats are? I got the big slides. I got the big cave in the back, that concave amphitheater. It's awesome.
Well, you can receive one entry for every two Foxwoods rewards points that are earned in February 8th through March 6th. So that just started, and it's going on through March 6th.
Can't beat that.
For full details, get to foxwoods.com. That's where you can see all the details about the 27 cruise trips they'll be giving away.
Cruising.
Foxwoods Resort Casino.
The wonder of it all.
What's on deck this season? How about a beautiful new deck and rail system from AZEK and TimberTech? Visit CCL's Homescape Showroom in Abington and see a huge selection of AZEK and TimberTech products. AZEK decks are a low-maintenance alternative to wood, and the experts at CCL will help you get it done so you can enjoy the season from your new deck. Visit CCLCO.com.
Hey, it's Kyle Draper. If you've been watching any of the C's games, you've seen my weight transformation thanks to Awaken 180 weight loss. I actually had to take in all my suits because I was swimming in clothes that used to be tight on me. Losing weight has been life-changing. I'm playing basketball again, my energy level increased, and hearing compliments from my wife never gets old. Ask yourself, what's stopping you from calling Awaken 180 and losing your weight starting now? Not before summer. Not next year, and not after hearing it from your doctor one more time. Make the call to Awaken 180 Weight Loss and start losing weight your very first week without long hours at the gym and without feeling hungry all day. Fast and sustainable weight loss with support from the Awaken 180 team who truly wants you to succeed. Awaken 180 Weight Loss, the long-term solution for weight loss. Locations in Newton, Peabody, Quincy, Seekonk, and Littleton. For their worldwide program online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.
Anderson 400 Series windows are the clad window of choice for contractors because they're easy to install and have fewer callbacks.
Check this out. This flexible jam liner makes a tight seal, even if the rough opening isn't perfectly square.
That's, great, Dad. I was just seeing if I could get a ride to Kendall's.
That's also why they choose to install them in their own homes. Anderson 400 Series Windows. The window contractors trust the most. Earn rewards on the purchase of 400 Series products. Learn more at TrustAnderson.com.
Love is in the air.
That's the Chandler Steakhouse and Kalmari Valentine's Day specials. Smells amazing.
You complete me.
Ooh, complete couple spa package. Nice.
What I'm trying to say is...
You know who has tons to say? The comedians of Dry Bar Comedy performing at Roar Comedy Club.
Will you marry...
Mary? Who's Mary? We're over!
Valentine's Day at MGM Springfield. Dateskate at the Plaza. Lala's Burlesque and more. MGM Springfield. This is a first.
Well, guess I'll be at the anti-Valentine's Day parties at Tap Sports Bar this year.
We salute Kevin.
Kevin Millett, an Army veteran who served honorably as a rifleman in the infantry with the 181st Yankee Division out of Gardner, Mass. He earned a Purple Heart and the Bronze Star with Valor in Afghanistan. An inspiring musician and competitive fisherman, Kevin is currently a wingman with the Clear Path for Veterans New England, helping other veterans in need.
Hey, it's Maz with a piece of advice for you. Take the train, and guess what? $10 weekends on commuter rail are back for 2019. So hit the slopes, explore Boston, or escape the city for an adventure, all while skipping traffic, parking hassles, and the stress of driving. One trip, five trips, 20 trips or more. One $10 weekend ticket gets you unlimited trips all weekend across all zones. Where will $10 weekends take you? Visit mbta.com/massbytrain to learn more, and be sure to download the mTicket app to buy tickets right on your phone.
This Valentine's, give her what she really wants, the ring.
Come to Rom Diamonds this Valentine's. The finest certified loose diamonds, the top designers, Gabriel and Company, art carved, and hearts on fire. All at the best prices in Boston. I'm Alex Reisman. Come to Rom Diamonds, and I guarantee she'll say yes.
At Rom Diamonds, we can make diamonds a part of your life.
Route 24 to exit 17B, and right now online at romdiamonds.com.
Hey guys, looking to improve your sexual performance? Go see Dr. Mark Lowney at Studio Eros for testosterone optimization and Gainswave treatment. 855-509-3767. StudioEros.net. Results may vary.
Here's what's brewing. Fueled by Dunkin' on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Meet Troy Brown this Wednesday night at the Progressive New England Boat Show at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. Stop by the Sports Hub area from 6 to 8 to play games and meet Troy. Purchase tickets in advance at NewEnglandBoatShow.com. Brought to you by the Progressive New England Boat Show at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand, is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Winter is here. Get your car ready at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to getanoilchange.com to save 15%.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
From the Super Bowl champion, New England Patriots, Patriots Man of the Year, Devin McCourty, and Super Bowl 53 MVP, Julian Edelman.
Well, we made it, man. L.A., thank you for the cheers. Also, thank you for the boos. I appreciate you supporting your community.
We're here tonight with music's most valuable players to present a very super award.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire.
Filled with so, you watched the Grammys last night?
Hell no.
I always get sucked in.
Not men. How do you get sucked into this?
Always. I don't know how it happens. I always get sucked in.
What are you looking for? The dress?
I watch like an
dress?
Hour of it live, then I hit put the rest on DVR and then skim it later.
They had no time for this.
But this part, not this part, this isn't a recording.
I'm pissed I missed Edelman and McCourty.
They were both there. She just
Edelman looks good shaving, doesn't he?
Yeah. They gave an award to Gaga.
What the hell is that?
They presented and Gaga won the award.
I heard
now,
she.
All I could think about was a week ago at that exact time. It was like the second quarter of the Super Bowl. Did these guys think that a week later they'd be on stage at the Grammys handing a Grammy to Lady Gaga? Like, I bet that had never crossed their mind.
Heard some people, under some of the wrap-up stuff this morning watching the news, said Gaga was on some drugs last night, huh? A little forced acting she was doing? Or?
Well, she's
high different. Energy.
She emotes. You know, that's kind of a thing.
Fake.
I don't know.
No, I think sometimes. I think that it's... Part of her act.
People love the lady.
It's an act. It's acting.
Everyone loves the Lady Gaga.
Oh, I love her. I love Gaga. I like her music. I do.
Alicia Keys did a performance in which she played songs that she wished she had written.
Like most of these artists. They all cover each other.
Right. Yeah. And at one point in that stretch, she played two pianos at the same time.
Mm.
She was between two pianos playing one piano.
Okay, I saw this. I saw this on the news,
Right. Going
back
and forth.
Right.
Which confuses me because aren't pianos designed so that you don't need two of them. Like, you use
your hands
two,
aren't on top of
two
each
hands
right.
on a piano.
Right.
And
one's
you
over
can,
here, one's over here.
So and you're really playing, even when you're playing one piano, you're still playing two different sets of keys
right.
with each hand.
And by the way,
why couldn't you do it on two separate pianos?
The clip that I saw, she was playing the lower register, you know, like the lower 44 with her left hand, and she's playing the upper 44 with the right hand. I'm like, huh, do you really need two pianos to do that? And as somebody else said, unless she grew two new arms out of her back, she really wasn't playing two pianos. You're still playing one piano. You're just playing it on two different sides. I don't get it.
So you had a problem with it.
I don't see what the big deal is. If you can play playing piano is a big deal. Why do you need two of them? What do you accomplish by playing two pianos that you can't do on one, except playing the exact same notes at the same time?
Did she have her feet up on it?
No, she was kind of like...
A foot?
Like, sitting like this.
Oh, maybe that
it's
was...
an odd look.
Yeah.
And it's been, somebody did it like a long time ago, and it's, I don't know. Were you all that impressed by it?
I thought that visually it was a good look for a performance, but I didn't think anything was, she's a musician. She's totally. A talented musician. Why wouldn't, I bet if you asked any talented musician
you don't think
who
Elton
plays
John
piano,
could do that?
Any of them could have done it.
You don't think Billy Joel or Elton John
I think anyone
could do
who knows how to play piano could have done that.
Right. And
that's
I'm,
what I think.
We should, get penis on the
I'm sorry?
Pianist. The pianist. We should get pianists, people that teach a piano, to call the show. Tell me if that's a feat or not.
Right, because I didn't listen to the whole thing, so I don't know what it was that she was doing that you couldn't accomplish on the same. Yes, I think Elton John or Billy Joel or anybody else could do it, but why don't they? Because it's not necessary. You don't accomplish anything by having two pianos there. Not that I could tell. So what? She's good, but what's the point of that? Supposed to lose my mind because they dragged another piano out there? I feel bad for the piano movers. Those things are heavy.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Right.
You know?
So this is what has you upset today.
I'm always upset when I watch the Grammys because I see all these people up there just being fawned over, and then I hear a part of the song. I'm like, A, I've never heard this song before, and B, it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And then Beatle had what I think is the best comment of the night, which was, if Post Malone put out an acoustic album, I'd buy it.
What, was he good?
Oh, he's awesome.
Oh, my God. He's up there singing.
He's awesome to begin with.
He's singing and playing a guitar. I'm like, if you can do that, why do you record all this other crap music that you see?
I
don't think his music is crap. Anyway,
his music's great.
I like him to begin with, but I like that more.
You need to start listening.
Kind of pointless.
No, it isn't.
What's his big hit? What's the big...
Party Like a Rock Star.
Yeah, it sounds like everything else. Sounds like everything else.
21 Savage, right? He's down with 21 Savage. I know that.
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you what, though. He had a scary airplane incident earlier.
Yes, he did.
We did a good last job year now.
Did we talk about that on the air at all that day?
I can't remember.
Did we talk about anything else that day?
I think we except may have done an entire show on that.
Flight trackers and whatnot. Let me tell you what I was impressed by.
What?
I'll show you. I'm not just all negative.
What?
Or curmudgeonly. The Dolly Parton tribute. You know who can sing?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus can sing. Woof.
I told you this.
Too bad her DB5 was down there.
We had a conversation about this that you don't remember. We were at Warrior a few months back, and I told you this. I said, you know,
were we talking about Miley Cyrus?
Yes, we were talking about, there was a song that was playing during one of those public skates.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I've seen her lately. She's been doing some, you know, SNL, things like that.
Yeah.
She can actually sing.
Yes. I don't remember you saying that.
Yeah.
But she got out there with Dolly.
Who's her godmother.
Right. Was in her 70s.
So Dolly Parton was out there?
Dolly can still sing.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Let me tell you something about Dolly Parton.
She still got the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where were those going to go?
The wigs.
You could have them take
the
them
wigs.
Off.
The yeah. wigs you're talking about.
Yeah.
Decrease them.
Came in like a rainbow.
Easy.
I never hit so hard in love.
Who questioned whether she could sing or not?
All I wanted was to break.
Well, I mean, you
she
just assume
sing.
That every pop
that
star
raspy
now can't sing.
Yeah, but
that's sort of where the bass line is.
She's got that good raspy voice. She was great as Hannah Montana.
Someone says Alicia Keys played like 12 different songs. She needed the two pianos for the piano to be tuned for the song she was performing. Oh, so now
I can buy that.
So
if
now
you can't
pianos
tune a
are,
piano.
Oh, so now
can you tune a
pianos
fish?
Are like guitars. Give me the other guitar that's in the drop D tuning so I can do some grunge, and then give me back the standard tuning guitars so I can play some country music. Shut up. I don't believe that at all. You can get that the hell out of here. Sit down at one piano and play it.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Stupid.
He's so pissed off.
Well, it's just dumb. The things that we're impressed by.
He's so snooty with music.
I'm not snooty. I just told you that Miley Cyrus was really good last night. That's not being snooty.
Well, was she never any good? I mean, you could question her looks and how stupid she got with that, but she could always sing.
She doesn't wear a bra anymore. No brasier.
Yeah, not into
everything
that.
She probably doesn't need one. Everything is a jacket. Did you see her? This is her new look. Everything is a jacket.
Every time she's on TV, she looks like that.
With no shirt and no bra. On the Today Show, she was like that. I said, cover the children's eyes. They can't see something like that.
What did Calvin say?
And you know what? They tape them in there is what they do.
Yeah.
I asked Blondie about that. I'm like,
double stick tape.
Use tape on the... And she said, oh, yeah. You tape them right in there.
Yep. Get that high industrial
Why was Blondie an expert on this, may I ask?
Because she
takes stuff up.
She also has breasts.
Therefore, she's an expert.
Anyone who has breasts can tell you
about
that.
Does she wear similar articles of clothing
to Miley?
She was the
only one in the room at the time that I could ask. No, she hadn't wear anything like that.
And she answered.
How dare you? How dare you?
She answered with confidence, and therefore, she's now an expert on these men.
Hell yeah, man. She knows. She knows.
Something real nice.
That's right.
Real nice. Oh, Daryl's in Vermont. He played piano.
Hi, Daryl.
Should we get his response or should we wait until after headlines?
Yeah, after headlines.
Should we talk about the Chili Peppers portion of the program, too?
Oh, no.
Just stop
why
already.
Why don't they just go away?
Oh, no.
Anthony Kiedis, dude, that dude's in his 50s.
Looks good.
He looks good. Post Malone wasn't taking his shirt off. Anthony Kiedis had his shirt on. It looks good. You know what that is? That's HGH. That's everybody out in L.A. taking that stuff. Look at Tom Cruise. Oh, he's 56. How does he look so good? Because he's jacked up with so many needles to get him to look like that. And Kiedis is the same way. He's not opposed to sticking a needle anywhere. What now, Daryl? What? Hello?
We'll get to him after these headlines.
Really?
Daryl, hang tight.
Oh.
We're going to talk about that as we start the 1 o'clock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.